All right. Hey, everyone. You know, we love our culture segments here at The Boundless Show, and today is no exception because we have the privilege of having Dr. John Townsend in the studio. Hey, Dr. John.
Hey, Lisa.
Very good to have you. Now, we were just talking about your buddy, Dr. Cloud, with whom you have done radio for many years. Mm-hmm. You have written books, and he has been here on the show as well. So, but, you know, sometimes we talk to people individually. We don't always have to talk to people in pairs, you know? It's like Dr. Townsend has his own gig, right?
Well, there's a me and there's a him and there's a we.
Right.
We got all three there.
Right. It's kind of like a marriage in a way. But Dr. Townsend is a psychologist. I did refer to him as being an author. Many of you, many, have read Boundaries, and you guys have read Boundaries in Dating, all the things related to boundaries that he's written either by himself or with Dr. Cloud. And also, you may listen to New Life Live, which is a radio program that he does. He's also the co-founder of the Cloud Townsend Clinic and Cloud Townsend Resources. And we're very privileged to have you here today.
Great to be here.
Well, this is fun because we are actually going to talk about a couple things. One is a newer book that he has called Beyond Boundaries, Learning to Trust Again in Relationships. And actually, you also have a new book coming out on entitlement. So you're going to have to tell us a little bit about that as well, because we tell young adults here not to be entitled, especially as it relates to leadership and the things that you are going to be talking about. So we want to make sure we touch on that as well. But first off, I want to talk about boundaries and beyond boundaries, because people here are probably like schizophrenic saying, okay, seriously, like first you told me I had to have boundaries, Dr. Townsend, now you're telling me I need to bring those boundaries down. So let's talk a little bit about, and I think it's interesting because you do so much work in the realm of leadership as well. And I mean, you train corporate leaders, and I heard a pastor speak not too long ago about, he was brought in to a group of CEOs, corporate CEOs. And the first thing he asked him was, do you guys have a business plan? Have you created a business plan? And of course, they're all like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he said, well, do you have a life plan? And he just got blank stares. And so I think there are probably a lot of leaders out there, corporate and otherwise, who are climbing the ladder, leading huge Fortune 500 companies, and have personal lives that are a shambles. So the good thing is here, we get to glean from, you know, wherever you are, whatever you're doing in your career, whether you're in school or whatever, I think there are great principles here to be learned. So let's start, though, by talking about that first question of, you know, when you talk about boundaries, what, like, describe that for, like, a single young adult, like how that plays into relationships, not only as they're growing into adulthood and kind of making that separation between, okay, I'm leaving my family in that sense, I'm spreading my wings, getting out on my own. How do they navigate relationships as to what some of those should look like moving into their 20s? What's appropriate? What's not?
Yeah. Simply put, Lisa, a boundary is a property line that that distinguishes what you're responsible for and what you're not responsible for. Now, if you look at Genesis 2, where the famous passage about how we need to leave and cleave, and singles are in that realm. I mean, at the early stages when you're just leaving home, you haven't quite left yet, but God's structure is that sooner or later, I'm going to own my life, I'm going to own my finances, I'm going to own my relationships. And so boundaries are a big part of becoming a functional single person. Then there's another kind of boundary that has to do with what kind of things I will and will allow in my single life. Like, what kind of conversations do I have with my friends? What do I do with my money? What do I do with toxic people in my life? So boundaries are basically a protective structure based on Proverbs 4:23, where Solomon says, guard your heart. They're a way to guard our hearts.
Mm-hmm. So how does that look? Like, for example, I know there are a lot of, for single young adults, you know, maybe who aren't in a dating relationship yet or aren't moving towards marriage, really friendships are kind of the core of where they are. What should this look like, boundaries, first of all? What should that look like for a person who maybe has someone who really wants to be your best friend, and you're like, well, I don't really need another best friend.
Yeah, I'm your bestie, but you're not my bestie.
Because in the church, that's so hard. You don't want to hurt people. You don't want to make them feel bad. You know, so how do you navigate that?
Well, at first, you got to navigate it internally. Mm-hmm. You've got to determine, when I work with singles, I have them sometimes determine, what do they want in life? What are your goals, relationally, the shape you're in, your career, all that, and what's going to take to get your goals, and what kind of support team do you need to get there? And you find out, well, I need some people that are like me in these areas, and they can challenge me here, and this sort of thing. And those are kind of your, what I call your life team. You're talking about your life plan. Mm-hmm. But then you've got people that really aren't that, but they're nice people. Well, they may want you to be their life team. I don't think you could have probably more than 3 to 7 people in a really deep life team. Mm-hmm. And so if people are number 8 or 9 or 10 or 12, then if they say, I want to meet with you a lot, sometimes, and I don't think you need to be mean about this, sometimes you got to say, I can't meet you every week, but could I meet you once a month? And those are appropriate boundaries where you keep the friendship, but you've got to be a guardian of your time and your energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's true. And it's hard because I think it's, you know, we are often preached at in church about letting everyone into our lives and this idea of Christian community.
You know what I find about that, Lisa, is that when I work with singles who struggle with this, mm-hmm. every time is that they let people pick them. And mm-hmm. they're not picking people. Mm-hmm. And if you look at who's spending their time per month with them, they'll go, well, they wanted me because I'm smart or I'm loving or I'm spiritual or I'm in shape or I've got money or whatever. They're allowing people to pick them as besties, and they're not saying, who do I need to fulfill my role in life? You've got to be more intentional.
Yeah, well, it's another weird form of passivity that we're so guilty of when
it
comes to...
passivity is very... You don't see a lot of attaboys about passivity in the scriptures.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So help us break this vicious cycle then of, you know, so many young adults out there, and we've done shows on dating, you know, users and abusers and just these relationships.
By the way, that's a bad idea.
Right. Yeah, that is a bad idea. I was hoping you weren't going to disagree with me because then I'd be like, whoa, that's awkward. But kind of that whole concept. So we get into these bad relationships and then we figure out, you know, some way we have to either extricate ourselves or else it blows up and we end up in counseling, been there. And, but then now you're telling us in Beyond Boundaries that eventually we have to learn to trust again. How do we keep this from being cyclical? How do we get healthy?
It's a confusing title, Beyond mm-hmm. Boundaries. Mm-hmm. And here's the real answer, Lisa, is there's two kinds of boundaries. They're what I call in the book defined boundaries. And your boundaries are your core values, what you believe in, God and relationship and holiness and success. They'll never change. You don't give up those boundaries because they define who you are. But then the second boundary is your protective boundaries, where you have to kind of put up a moat against some people who are toxic or what you call users and abusers. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that can change depending on the circumstances. When do you let the moat drawer back down? The book is about how do I know when to trust again and not be so self-protective so that I can find love and fulfillment and friendship and romance and all those good things.
Mm-hmm. And how does someone know, whether it's a family member you've been hurt by or whether it's a close, close friend or whether it is someone you've been dating or even, you know, we get lots of letters from people that were engaged and just were betrayed or whatever. How do you know when it is time to trust again?
Well, that's the nature of the book. I've got that in 3 sections. Mm-hmm. And section 1 is, first, I've got to know I'm ready. You know, we can get wounded. We get wounded by each other. And people, like you said, betrayal makes us, you know, not trust. Or sometimes we have trigger responses, almost like post-traumatic stress disorder responses where we freeze up or get terrified. So I've got to heal. I've got to be in a healing community, maybe find a good therapist. But that's part 1 is, how do you know when you're ready? And there are steps I say in the book about how you know when you're ready to trust. Second part of the book is, how do I know the other person's ready? There's a big difference between somebody who says, I'm sorry that I did that, I'm sorry I lied or controlled you or shamed you or criticized you, and a person who actually changes. So I have a whole section in the book basically of, have they shown internal change and not just, I'm sorry. Sorry is about as good as the words are. What does Gump say? Sorry is what sorry does. Mm-hmm. Are they doing sorry?
Hmm.
And then the third part of the book is what I call the dance of, how do you have the conversations where you sort of like tiptoe towards each other? Because I have a whole part on there of, we need to have the conversation about us now.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do that and all 3 parts line up, you can go back in a relationship again.
Yeah, I know you talk specifically about what you call the talk you must have.
The talk you must have.
And so what is that? I mean, what if you're just dating like a total player? So who, like, you know, I have girlfriends that dated guys that they basically, because of their faith, they mm-hmm. said, well, everything's under the blood of Jesus and I just have to let it go. You know, these horrible paths. I mean, they're kind of like, well, I think they're working through it, or I think they're whatever, and I think they ask forgiveness, and I think, and so there may be, how do you know the difference between true repentance and mistakes, now I've changed, and just there are red flags that I shouldn't be going there?
We know Jesus addressed that, Lisa, when he said, you brood of vipers, actually John the Baptist said this, he said, you brood of vipers, bring forth fruits that are meet with repentance. In other words, if you have had these internal changes, you've got to show by your actions that you're listening better, that your behavior is in the same level with your belief system, that you're living the righteous life, not a perfect life, but you're on the path. So what I always have to tell singles when they've had a blow up like you're talking about, mm-hmm. you can't do this by the next week. You've got to observe that person and their behavior in community, so other people have x-ray vision as well as you, because you're kind of crazy because you're distorted. Over time, that's the key, is over time, and have they changed?
Okay. So say that you are, for those in our audience who are maybe young marrieds, or maybe this is a relationship with a family member that they're, they can't just walk away from. What do we do when it's other people's walls that we can't break down? So someone who's refusing to trust us, or who's refusing to move forward, or who's refusing, it's something where we want to restore mm-hmm. that relationship, but they're not ready.
Mm-hmm. I think the very first thing we can do is have the conversation where you go to Matthew 7, and it said to take the beam out of your eye before you take the mote out of your brother's eye, and go to that person and say, I miss us. I miss our relationship, and I'd like to have a conversation to find out what I've done to alienate things, as opposed to, well, you have a responsibility to be with me because I'm sad, I'm sorry, or whatever, or you're making this up, or you're overreacting, to go in and say, I'd like to know how I've impacted you, because I need to learn from this and I miss the relationship. That sort of vulnerable response, instead of an angry, blaming response, soft answer turns away wrath. And you often, and I've seen on kind of a bell curve level, a high percentage of the conversations with person will go, you really want to know how you affected me? Yeah. Well, 4 years ago at that party, you made so much fun of me that I never forgot it. And you say, I hardly remember it. I'm so sorry. Tell me more. A lot of times when reconciliation happens.
Yeah, which is so sad, because a lot of times we don't even get to that point in the church. We just so...
You know what we do?
Yeah.
We either don't do anything, or then we go nuclear.
Yeah.
Like, well, they wouldn't return my phone call. Well, I'll shake the dust off my sandals.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of steps, Lisa, in between we're upset and shake the dust off that Christians don't do.
Yeah. Or we just go to the church down the street. It's just they abandon the whole situation.
Exactly.
So what are the, like, talk to us. I mean, obviously where you go here is very deep and very specific and very much like, I want to redeem this relationship. Talk about the baby steps just within the church as to, I mean, I feel like sometimes I'm just like looking around going, is there anyone here that even wants a real relationship? Yeah. Because why do people just want to do these game nights and go out to lunch with me, mm-hmm. but never talk about anything real? What's the problem in the church, and how can we move in a direction that helps us be more real and have that kind of relationship?
Well, I think there are several problems. First off, I think that in a healthy church, true intimacy and vulnerability got to be preached from the pulpit, where it's more than just reading your Bible and having a quiet time. The Bible says to read the Bible and have a quiet time, but it also says to do everything the Bible says, to put your Bible down, so to speak, and go love one another. Like it says in James 1, it says, the person that just looks at the word and doesn't do anything is like the person looks in the mirror. Nothing transactional happened. We're supposed to accept one another, speak the truth in love, confess to one another, love one another. So it's got to be preached. And in a singles group or a small group or whatever, I think that every person, I'm personally committed to a small group until the bus hits me at 87 or mm-hmm. whatever, because there's the worship service where you're facing each other, and then there's bowling, which is fun, or some mm-hmm. a baseball game. But you've got to have, I don't think you can really grow as a Christian without a room, Lisa, where all the chairs face each other, where you're talking about life the way it's really lived, and it's safe, and it's full of grace and truth and no condemnation. And if you don't have that, nothing transformational ever happens.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of which, I want to transition a little bit here, because you have a new book coming out that I want to give everyone a sneak peek of. It's called The Hard Way is the Right Way, How Successful People Succeed by Rolling Up Their Sleeves in a Culture of Entitlement.
Pretty long subtitle,
that,
huh?
That is. Who came up with that? Was that
I
you?
I did, and I think they're going to shorten it.
Okay, well, either way, it's about doing hard things and not being entitled, which is great, because we talk about that a lot here at Boundless, because I think millennials especially get so blamed for this of just, I'm just going to be amazing by the time I'm 22 and I won't have any room to grow.
Yeah, and it's certainly, I think sometimes millennials get really bashed too hard on all mm-hmm. this. I mean, I know people,
They're too busy trying to figure things out to, yeah.
Yeah, understand. But people of all ages have the same problem. Who wants to do hard things? Mm-hmm. I don't want to do hard things. Mm-hmm. When I'm feeling bad, I don't want to be nice to my kids. And when I'm tired, I want to go eat, chocolate pie. I mean, but mm-hmm. but the book is about the fact that we need to, if we want to be successful, you've got to be creative, you've got to be innovative, you've got to have passion, but at the same time, We've got to be like the ant in Proverbs chapter 6, and it says she didn't have a chief or a captain, but every day she does the job. And I talk about things like learning to do repetitive things without going crazy. We all hate repetitive things, but successful people do repetitive things. Doing things that you're not really good at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes if you're a good salesperson, a marketing person, and you think, well, I don't need to have a balance my checkbook. That's somebody else's gift. No, you've got to balance your checkbook. So learning those essential disciplines that can really escalate your life, your relationships, and your career.
Okay, so how do we do that when everything that we're told, whether it's in education or in the workplace or whatever, is that do not do anything that you're going to fail at because someone will notice it and they will demote you or they will make fun of you or they will, how do we get the confidence to even try things?
Well, and there's some truth to that too. Mm-hmm. And you certainly shouldn't fall on your face in the middle of a board meeting. That's not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be a context, I think, Lisa, a safe place where you are loved and accepted, where you can learn to struggle and fail and try things. For example, I talk about things that you don't do well, like maybe you don't have a hard time confronting people because mm-hmm. you're the nice guy. Well, if you don't learn the skill of confrontation, you're going to be used by people all your life. You'll never get anywhere. So where can you find the way to be truthful with people, solve problems with people? You've got to find kind of a learning environment, which I think is a good safe group, a good process group, a good spiritual director, a good mentor, a good counselor.
Yeah. So you talked about how you naturally don't like to do hard things. Which you should, because you're a famous psychologist, so you should totally be beyond that.
The fact that I have a belly button means I don't like to do hard things.
Oh, okay. Okay, so what, can you give an example, like from your own life, where there was something that you knew, you know, just in your nature, that this is somewhere I don't want to go, but you did, and you've seen growth out of that, or you've seen movement?
I'll give you a little teeny story and a big story.
Okay.
How's that? Teeny story. I speak a lot, and I'm traveling a lot, and I'm always in conferences and hotels. And I was in between. I was at a conference in Washington, D.C. this last week. And I was speaking, and I did a radio interview, and then I had like 15 minutes to run to my room and then to go back down again. And this sounds really silly, but I knew my breath was really bad by now because I had 18 cups of coffee and all this. So I ran up. I thought, well, I've got a little mouthwash here. I got to brush my teeth. But this sounds so silly saying it, but it's trivial, but it's not. So I thought, okay, I'll just do the mouthwash. Then I thought, wait a minute, I've got to be a steward of these teeth. You know, I'm not going to keep these forever. So I took another 2 minutes to brush my teeth, and I kept saying to myself, this is the hard way. This is the hard way. And I went down, and I felt a little bit better about navigating life, and I'm sure people around me appreciate that.
Felt better.
Little example. Big example would be when I had to make the decision about a business that I had and whether to sell it or not to sell it. And the easy way would have been to hold on to it, and it was in a failing industry. And the hard thing would be to let go of something I loved and do something else. But I felt like it wasn't the direction I wanted to go, so I had to have a lot of hard talks with a lot of people, finally got the business sold, and then God opened up another total area for me that had bore a lot of fruit. But it was against my nature to do that.
Hmm.
I wanted to hold on to the old.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have been there. So, and which is weird because I'm naturally a risk taker, you know, which is funny because when I talk to my friends that aren't, they think that all of my decisions are so easy. Oh, Lisa, you just love doing that. You're just willing to put it out there. You're just whatever.
And you're saying, no, it's not.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, I think it depends. There are some things that are easy for me to do and some areas that are much more difficult.
For some people on an emotional level, vulnerability is very easy. And like being truthful is hard. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's really easy to kind of lay out the truth, very difficult to be vulnerable. So the book's about finding out what you need to do to get successful that you're not naturally good at and learning how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So kind of as we wrap here, Dr. Townsend, what would you say, knowing that you're speaking to thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of young adults here, as they're kind of navigating their 20s into their 30s, some of them looking back and saying, oh my word, there's definitely some missed opportunities here. Some just saying, I don't even know where I'm going. What would you say from what you know in leadership and beyond are just some good things that they can be doing right now to understand where they are in relationships, understand how they need to move, and what really is going to make them get some gains in the short term and in the long term?
I spend a lot of time with young adult leaders. I have a leadership coaching program, which has a lot of young adult leaders in it. So I kind of study their DNA, and the best thing I have found that helps is to tell them, you came from a family a biological family or whoever they were, and they raised you, and they did good things, and they taught you the values and support, but they probably did some bad things too and didn't finish equipping you for life. There's some holes, like in all of us, about being equipped for life. Well, that's what I call the family of origin scenario. Your job now is to give that up and do what the Bible says, leaving and cleaving, and to find the family of God. You need a second family, and the second family is bigger and greater and more wonderful than the first family. And you've got to get all those things from the family of God that you didn't get from the family of origin. And if you do that, you will be a successful person.
All right. Well, good thoughts. Thank you so much, Dr. Townsend, for being with us. Again, I want to let you guys know, don't forget Beyond Boundaries. We talked about that on the front end of the show. Pick up a copy of that. We will have it linked on the blog, as well as The Hard Way is the Right Way.
Can I get my website?
You absolutely can.
drtownsend.com.
Dr, as in doctor, Townsend.com, and we will link to that as well on the blog so you can figure out where in the world he's going next. He's speaking all over the place, just out and about doing many different things. I mean, you're very involved with not only the radio show, but you speak. I mean, you and Dr. Cloud have been involved with the Willow Creek Leadership Association, among others. So all of us Boundless fans, we can find him out there. You can stalk him. That's good. So thank you so much for being part of this conversation, Dr. Townsend.
Great to be here.